Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest is a singer-songwriter who has toured Canada and Europe and was recently featured at an Imago Artist Showcase. Janine Noyes says her favorite gigs are the ones where she's connecting with an audience no matter the size of the gathering. Janine is on the phone with us from her home in Toronto to talk about her music. But before we get to your interview, let's listen to I Will Arise from Janine Noyes' YouTube concert video, also featuring Willie Platzer and Martin Morrow.
Jesus, He will take me in His arms, in the arms of my dear Savior. Oh, there are 10,000 charms. Sick and sore, Jesus ready stands to save you, full of pity, love and power.
Conversation with Janine Noyes. Good evening, Janine.
Hello.
Now, let's start at the beginning for our listeners. When and where did your interest in music start?
Well, my mom was a gospel singer. She traveled around with a trio in Nova Scotia, singing at tent meetings and the like. So I actually sang my first solo in church when I was five. And I used to sing duets with my mom from that time onward. So I think that's where it came from.
So, well, how did that lead to you beginning and doing music on for yourself?
I always had a really good ear, and I liked making up songs even when I was a kid. So as soon as I could figure out guitar chords, and I had always been playing the piano and taking piano lessons, I started writing songs. So all through high school, I wrote songs and played in a rock band and stuff. And then I studied at university, studied music, and continued to write more intricate parts. And so I think it's just always been part of my vocabulary, part of my expression. Yeah.
Well, as you've been going through, I'm assuming your mother was one of your influences, but who have been some of your musical influences along the way?
I think one of the main ones is Sam Phillips. I don't know if you know who she is. Back in the 80s, she was Leslie Phillips. And she was married to T-Bone Burnett, just a really amazing writer. But then probably some of the obvious ones like Bruce Coburn and I used to listen to a lot of Sheryl Crow. I like good production. Sting. Spiced. Way back, I was a big Joni Mitchell fan. I'm old.
Well, it sounds like a lot of the people that you cited are both singers and songwriters. Did you sort of tend to go towards singer songwriters?
Yeah. I really like a good song, a great melody and clever lyrics, and I'm really drawn to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually recently discovered that I'm probably not the traditional singer-songwriter type of, you know, the three chords in a good story kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more interested in a really great weave of a melody with great chords and stuff. So I was recently sort of doing a little research and listening to all those songwriters that people think that are called excellent songwriters, and I went to see Lucinda Williams and more recently Amelia Curran and Rose Cousins, and I love them, but I think I'm not that three chord girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I like a little more intricate stuff.
Well, you cited Bruce Coburn and Joni Mitchell. I mean, there are two songwriters that are not three chord.
That's right.
You know, three chord songwriters. And I know I've talked to a number of Christian musicians and singer songwriters over the years, and Bruce Coburn's name is a name that continually pops up. Mm-hmm. As an influence as a songwriter. What is it about his material and about Joni Mitchell's material that attracts you as a singer-songwriter?
I think it's different for both of them. I would say for Bruce Coburn, it's the poetry.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, it's the poetry. He's such a beautiful poet, and he can write a lyric that is, you know, that just goes right to your heart. It's pithy and like a dart.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Dart to the heart.
Yeah.
And Joni, I'd say, same thing. I mean, she's definitely an amazing poet, but I love all the vocals and the layers and the kind of unidentifiable chords and so on.
Yeah.
Yeah,
one of the things as I was doing some research on you that I found was that you've also had a chance to write for theater.
Mm.
You were involved in the Christmas Collective 2000 Candles and Brookstone Theater's Dixie Gospel. Did you find a difference in terms of writing for theater and writing for yourself when you're just writing for your own performance?
Absolutely. I can write for theater easily, because it's not mine. You know, I'm doing it for something else, and I have the skills to put it together quickly, and I don't have as much personal investment in it. Obviously, there's investment in it, but when I'm writing a song about a song for myself, to perform as my own song, I think I have there's more of my heart on my sleeve in that one for sure. They take me longer. In fact, recently my mom passed away last year, and after she passed away, I wrote two songs. Speaking of three chord songs, that's when I was sort of going through that, examining other people's song stuff. That I think might not even be for public consumption, because they are so transparent.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, but writing for something else is much easier for sure.
Mm-hmm. Do you prefer one to the other, or is it just it's a different challenge that you're?
It's a different challenge.
Yeah.
I love doing theater. I love having the voices and writing harmonies and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to continue our conversation with singer-songwriter Janine Noyes. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
this I've done. After fetch it, throw and run. Win, take, don't give back. Leave the dog alone. This Golgotha is my home. Treasure, maybe gold, rickrack, edges cracked, turning up a stone. This Golgotha is my home. Secret stories underground, life to dust and spark to sound. The song of freedom from our fate, the relics of
Arts Connection, and we're going to continue our conversation with singer-songwriter Jeanine Noyes. Jeanine, we were talking about songwriting in that earlier. How would you describe your process? Are you like a lyrics first songwriter? Does the melody come first? Does it depend on a particular song at a particular time?
I would say that the lyrics are definitely more labor for me. I'm not good at them. They take a lot more work. Melody, harmony, chord structure, those are much easier for me. So I usually end up, it starts with a phrase that I think is neat, and then a concept comes out of it, and I start writing. But in the end, the last thing that I'm sort of working on and trying to get just right are always the lyrics. Everything else is usually in place. In fact, I have an album right now that I've been working on for years. Hopefully it'll come out soon. And there are some songs on there that are done, except the third verse has me going la-di-da-di-doo-bee-doo, because I just don't have it the way I like it yet.
I was reading about that on your website, and it's you're working with somebody in Scotland.
Actually, he lives in Kingston.
Okay.
His name is Matt Bates, and it's Longshot Studios, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
But he and I went to Scotland with his laptop, and we found a room in a castle and set up a little studio with a microphone by the window so I could look out to the North Sea. And we wrote songs there. Quite magical, actually.
Mm-hmm. Well, it sounds like it. I just did that whole atmosphere. Does that help? Like, what are some of the things that inspire you? Is it atmosphere? Is it phrases that you hear somewhere? Something that you've read? Sort of what attracts you as a writer?
That's a good question. I don't know if I know the answer to that. I think it's a lot of things. I know, because I don't write all the time, I don't have one way of writing. I can be inspired by all kinds of different things. and I could start writing a song in the car, which means it's a slightly different process than if I sit down with my guitar or start playing on the piano. If I'm writing in the car, it's a melody and then a lyric, and then so it tends to have a different feel. So it really depends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have one way.
Mm-hmm. One of the things I was looking at is again, I was doing some research, and on your website you mentioned about the favorite gigs, your favorite concerts are ones where there's a connection, that you really sense this connection with the audience. How can you tell when that connection is there between yourself and the audience?
I just feel it. I think it's sometimes it's like palpable in the room. You can feel that people are with you when you're singing an intimate song or telling a story. Or you can just feel it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what makes artists artists. I mean, a lot of us play in places or play gigs for money that don't feed our souls, and you don't connect because you're wallpaper.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're playing your heart for people, and they're listening and responding, and it makes them think about their own life, whatever they're responding to.
Mm-hmm.
That's the magic. That's when the art happens.
Well, that's sort of the dichotomy of art. For the most part, the creative process, the songwriting and things like that, is done typically on your own, by yourself. And then it's the taking that and then presenting it to an audience to say, here's my art. Here's what I have to present to you, and I'm hoping that you'll pick up on it. Is that something that you think about in terms of how you develop your art?
Yes. Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, when you're actually writing, when I'm actually writing, I'm not thinking about anybody except making this. What's coming to me, I'm trying to honor it and put it down the way it feels. but like I said recently, I wrote a couple songs right after my mom died, and now I'm looking at them and thinking, maybe these are for me, maybe they're not to be delivered to an audience, maybe they're too intense.
Mm-hmm.
But I played them recently. It was at a singer-songwriter's event, so that's an audience that's waiting for your songs.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very well received. And I said to somebody afterwards, I'm not sure if those are for public or not. And she said something like, I can't remember what she said, but it was something like, if you don't play those in public, I'll be very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're just those kinds of songs.
Right.
I think when you're writing, you're not really thinking about your audience as much. It's more just like honoring the song.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what people respond to, of course, the authenticity in the song.
Looking at that, so what do you find are some of the biggest challenges you have as a songwriter and as a singer?
Being paid.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, that's definitely a challenge, I think, for most artists.
Yeah, challenge. Well, I think for most artists, it's always about being authentic, and the challenge for me is to not go cheap, and write candy songs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't know if that really answers your question. I'm not sure that I know the answer.
I've talked to a number of artists over the years, and that is finding that voice, that you know, finding your voice and being true to who you are, when you could also easily do something that is just going to pay the bills. It's that, I think, that tension between the practicality of living, but also the realism, the realistic life of what you need to do as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that over the past years, and that, what have been some of the highlights that you've had of as a singer-songwriter?
It's always about audiences. Like, there were a couple of concerts. Last year I did a concert in that castle in Scotland, that same castle called Frezick Castle. And they hosted a concert, and there were people from this glass-making place. There were students, art students who came. It was just the best audience in the most beautiful setting. The fire was going, there was scotch, and it was just one of those magical moments where I knew that people in that room were just, they were hearing my heart, and mm-hmm. they were responding. Really precious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to take one final break, and then we're going to come back and finish our conversation with singer-songwriter Janine Noyes. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
My love is like a river to the ocean, and I know you are sailing to me. My love is like a river to the ocean, and I know you are sailing to me. To the ocean, and I know you are sailing to me.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Janine Noyes, and I'm your host, Robert White. We're going to finish up our conversation with Janine. One of the things that we were talking about when we were setting up the interview is the fact that you're going to be involved in an artist showcase with Imago. How did you connect with Imago?
I did both of my CD recording projects through Imago, and the first one was a long time ago. So I've been connected to them for a long time. Usually with Imago, they support your project. Mm-hmm. So I've had relationship with Imago and then been away doing other things. And John just asked me to play. I'm not a current project with mm-hmm. Imago, but I'm actually going to be telling them about a new thing that I'm going to work on. Or that I'm working on right now with Matt Bates, who I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I told you that my mom passed away last year. Both of my parents had Alzheimer's disease, and my mom was a musician. And I watched her sort of forget. She played the piano long past the time that she could, you know, feed herself. She continued to play the piano and sing these old hymns. Mm-hmm. And I watched her forget one at a time, you know, until in the end she was singing "When the Roll Is Called Up Yonder" over and over again. So this project is called The Last Song You Forgot, and it's just a CD of old hymns to honor my mom, and I'm going to introduce that project to Imago on Thursday evening.
Wow. Sounds fascinating. Is there anything else you're working on at this point as well?
Well, that ongoing record that I told
right,
you about.
Yeah, yeah.
We have several songs finished, and some of them, like I said, almost finished, except for some lyrics and some production stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't been in the studio for a long time, so this album of hymns is sort of my. I think it's going to be a little bit easier to do, so I'm going to do that first.
Mm-hmm.
My feet wet and get back into the studio, and then do my original songs.
Right.
Yeah.
Where can people find out more about you and your music?
Well, I have a website, JeanineNoise.com, and right now it just has links to Facebook and Reverb Nation.
Mm-hmm.
When there's new stuff, I will post it there for sure.
And it's Jeanine is G-E-A...
J-E-A-N-I-N-E,
and noise is N-O-Y-E-S.
Yes.
Great. Well, Jeanine, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection today, and thank you to my guest, Jeanine Noise. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @Selah13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.